Morning Glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway, joined by one of our favorite guests, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Good morning, Governor. Welcome back.
Hugh Hewitt, thanks for having me.
You know, you ghosted me on my text thing, and I thought it was after I brought up Andres Jimenez hitting 319, but then I figured out you've hired a staff. You must be getting very close, because now they're hassling Danielle, and we're dealing with intermediaries. So you must have brought on some media people to screw up our line of communication.
Hugh, you know, every once in a while, even someone like me needs a bodyguard, you know?
I just think it's a clearest sign yet. I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to skip the horse race. I'm going to go to the what if. What if Chris Christie was president? What if you got in, you won the nomination, you beat Joe Biden? What would you do about the national debt? I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to ask everyone this because it's $31 trillion and we have to do something, Governor. What would you do?
There's no question, Hugh. Look, part of this, part of what I would do is informed by the experience I had as governor. And, you know, when I got in 2010 in New Jersey, we had an $11 billion deficit on a $29 billion budget. That was a 38% deficit that needed to be fixed because we had a constitutional requirement to fix it. And there's no great way to do this, Hugh. You've got to get in, dig in, and stop spending things and prioritize what you must spend on, which for me, priority number one would be defense, because I think we're well behind where we need to be. And then you've got to look at the rest of what we're doing in government. And for God's sake, given what Donald Trump spent and what Joe Biden is spending, there are plenty of areas where we could go in and be able to pare back on what we're spending on. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, but it is grueling and it's grinding work. I can remember sitting 3 days a week in the governor's office, going through the budget literally line by line. Like they say in the debate, I'll go through the budget line by line, literally going through it line by line. The kind of things you're going to need to do in this situation is to slowly but steadily reimpose fiscal discipline on the Congress. And that's not going to be an easy job, but, you know, I did it with a bunch of Democrats in New Jersey, and we did balance that budget without raising taxes, and I think the same thing needs to be done here in Washington.
Now, Governor, the deficit is about $1 trillion a year or something like that. That's the immediate credit card problem. You know, first thing you do is cut up your credit cards when you're deep in debt. And then the second thing is, how much do you owe? We owe $31 trillion. That's so much money that even if we get it down to $29 trillion, we're still going to have interest payments out the wazoo forever. Is there a sinking fund? That's what Pitt the Younger used when they had fought Napoleon forever. Is there some way that can be explained? The lockbox is nonsense. We've got to do something that works. Have you got an idea?
No, look, Hugh, there is no silver bullet to get ourselves out of $31 trillion in debt. The fact of the matter is we just have to slowly but surely take it down. And we're going to have to pay our bills, unfortunately, the ones that we've run up. And that means there are going to be huge interest payments to make, Hugh. It's just the way it is. And I don't think there is a silver bullet way for us to get rid of significant amounts of trillions of dollars in debt. The best way to do it is twofold. One, not to add to it. And two, to be able to continue to have an economy that grows and that creates the type of opportunity for revenue for the government without tax increases that can slowly but surely bring that down.
Now, Governor, help me out. If I'm doing another debate this cycle, and we got a bunch of Republicans, and we'll come back to that in a second, how in the world do you frame a question that we can elicit from the candidate seriousness of purpose and detail on their plan for this? Because, you know, it's like talking point heaven, but it never works. The $31 trillion has been done by Republicans and Democrats and Democrats and Republicans.
It has, and I think though the way to frame it, you're pretty good at it, Hugh. You're a good lawyer, and you're framing it the right way. And I think it will. And this is part of about format for some of these debates. You know, you've got to be able to follow up and to continue to push candidates like you do on your show, and that's the important way to go about this. And I think that for folks who are considering this, having dealt with budgets is an important part of knowing how to deal with it going forward. Also, knowing how to deal with a legislative body and be able to push them towards doing things they don't want to do is another part of it. And I have to tell you the truth, we haven't had a president who's known how to do that in quite some time. You know, Donald Trump had no idea how to do it and couldn't do it. Joe Biden had no interest in doing it to the extent he even had an idea of how to do it. We need someone who's been a serious executive, not in the business world, someone who knows how to work the government to be able to be president.
You know, I pull the lever mentally on anyone who says balanced budget amendment. I want them to disappear through the floor because that's not an answer to anything and won't get through. No. One of the things I do expect to hear from people is, well, over time, we're going to start with people who are 50 years old and younger. We're going to raise the retirement age by 1 month a year for the next 25 years. Is that reasonable, Governor?
I think it's reasonable to look at two things, Hugh. One is to look at raising retirement age, given the fact that folks are living so much longer than they were projected to when we started the Social Security system, or even when Reagan went about trying to do some fixes back in the 80s. And secondly, I do think that we have to look at means testing. And I don't think that everyone who's paid into Social Security, if you're wealthy, should wind up having to pull out of Social Security. I think those are both things that we should take a look at. But that's something you're going to have to negotiate with the Congress, which will not be easy. But we can't any longer sit by and ignore the fact that there's a piece of good news. Everyone's living longer. But if you're living longer, we've got to look at whether people are working longer, too, and how we go about trying to change that.
Now, Governor, former President Trump is doing a town hall with CNN on May 10th. Caitlin Collins is doing it. She's a fine journalist. She will be fair. She will ask good questions. I hope they do a town hall with everyone. I hope they ask about the debt. But about the debates, I want a lot of them. I want them to start in August and keep going. The former president has indicated he doesn't want to do them. What is your position on this if you get in?
There should be as many as we can have. They should be as open, open format as they can be to allow for follow-ups and not allow people to give soundbitey answers that nobody believes will solve any problems. And anybody who's serious about wanting to be president of the United States should be on the stage for every one of them. And, you know, look, what they say that the presidential campaigns are an X-ray of the soul for the people who are running. Well, those debates are an MRI because you can't, if the questions are good, pre-scripted answers are not always working. And it's a human interaction, Hugh, and you see how people respond on their feet. And that's very important for any executive because, you know, the presidency is not a scripted exercise. And so that's why I think debates are important, and I think we should participate in them. And to the extent that President Trump doesn't want to participate in them, people should wonder why. And I think it's because he doesn't have a lot of serious answers for the problems that are facing the country right now. All he wants to do is go back and re-prosecute the 2020 election because his feelings are hurt. He's a child in that regard.
Now, he does have one good point, Governor. He's got like a 30, 40-point lead over everyone, Governor DeSantis in second place. And he says, why would someone this far ahead debate? And what's your response to that?
Because this is about letting the American people decide who's best prepared to be president. This is not running for student body president. And if he really cares about the country, and I have deep questions about that, but if he really cares about the country, that he's going to get up there, and he shouldn't be afraid. I'm sorry to see that Donald Trump feels like if he gets on the stage, he's at risk of losing his lead. If, in fact, his ideas are so great, if his leadership is so outstanding, then his lead will only increase if he gets on the stage, not decrease. But obviously, he's afraid. He's afraid to get on the stage against people who are serious. And I'm sorry to see that he's that afraid of it. If he's that afraid of that, how can we count on him to do any better with President Xi than the failures he had in his first term with China? How can we expect him to do any better with Putin than having set the groundwork for the invasion of Ukraine, which his conduct towards Putin certainly helped to establish? This is a guy who seems like he's afraid. And if he's afraid, he has no business being president.
Well, no, I think Ronna McDaniel, David Bossie, and their colleagues at the RNC are doing a good job setting up an obstacle course of debates, and we'll find out what that is. My last question, Governor, I got 30 seconds. When are you going to decide by? When are you going to make this formal?
Yeah, I will make a decision in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, that's why I've gone dark. I thought I ran over your dog. Will you text me if you say no?
By the way, the Jimenez thing didn't help either.
Governor Chris Christie, always come back. Always a great interview. Thank you, Governor. Don't go anywhere, America. I got another one coming up. Larry Elder. These people who want to go up and do this thing, I think they're all out of their minds, but they're awfully good interviews. Stay tuned. I'm Hugh Hewitt.